Hi, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen. You're all sweaty. You got perspiration all over.
Yeah, the time we're recording earlier than we usually did, so I tried to like work out and then I had my little smoothie, but I, you know, it's all fine.
Good for you though. Good for you for working out, getting that in, and thanks for going early.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that. That's gonna be a little bit of our topic today, I think.
Ooh.
Well, first things first. I don't know, this is kind of weird to even bring up, but I do feel like, you know, we're not really this kind of program, quote unquote. But I do just want to, like, really quickly, I'm really, really sad about another mass shooting in Boulder that took place this week. And,
Yeah. You
know, once again, we won't really get into it too much because we're not that. But it, I don't understand. And I feel like we had this horrible year with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to say a bright side about it, but it felt like that kind of went away a little bit. And I'm not prepared as a human being to like, just be like, well, here we are again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what else to say about it, but I just felt like I had to bring it up.
No, I was thinking about it. I was actually just looking at the news before we got on and, you know, it's like, I agree. It's, well, last week with, or I guess, yeah, it was last week with the 8 people who were killed in the massage parlor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which was so upsetting. And like, you know, there's the rise of racism against Asian people, which is just like, what the is wrong with people? I didn't say
that
word.
You did a good job. That was a good 7-second delay you did on yourself.
It almost felt like purposeful. Yeah. No, but I feel, you know, I have a lot of friends and I'm like, I support you. I will beat someone's butt if I see somebody doing that. But I understand also like the xenophobia and stuff like that because I grew up different as well. I mean, like I have family members who have changed their names to fit in. So just like the racism and like all that set aside, the guns, what the hell? And I remember being so upset by the Newtown mass shooting with the kids and just thinking like, I feel so sad, but I also feel so helpless. Like no one's protecting us.
Yeah, it's hard.
Our government.
Right. Because that is kind of what, because the fact of the matter is like, I don't like guns. I don't get guns. I don't know why you want to own guns. Like it's just not my thing. So I don't get it.
Sure.
People are like, we're not coming for your guns. I'm like, well, I kind of am. I would like to take your guns away.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. I don't have that power. So I guess it is frustrating that those that are in power seem to continuously pass the buck. So once again, we don't have to.
I know. I'm glad you brought it up, though. It's very upsetting and sad. And like, it's hard to unpack because so many people have tried. And we watch other countries make laws after horrible things happen and it actually works. So why the heck are we not doing that? You know?
Yeah.
But
it's frustrating. I wish that someone would step up.
Yeah.
But all right. Anyway, let's. So I'm going to say, I'm in the middle of a very, very lengthy extended work week because I get my second shot on Thursday.
Okay.
So, which is great. But because of that, I've had to like switch my work schedule away. So I'm like, tonight will be my 7th shift in a row out of 8 shifts in a row without a day off.
Oh, jeez, Louis.
I know. I'm very tired. I'm very tired.
I'm sure.
And I would like to encompass my week with, I'm going to try to do this, you know, fairly succinctly, but with a series of quick stories that I like to call, Mike just wants to get home after he's done working.
Okay.
So last week I got done with work and I'm mostly working like sort of like the later shifts at the restaurant and, you know, trains are shutting down in New York at around like 1 or 2 in the morning. So, but I usually get to the subway before that. So it's not that big of a deal, but it can be a little bit nerve wracking. And I went down to the subway and it's a thing where a lot of subway stations have 2 entrances. And back in the day when they were better funded, every entrance would have a booth with an attendant.
Right.
But the way that it works now is that oftentimes there are 2 entrances and one of them has an attendant and one of them doesn't. Well, the one that I go to doesn't. And I went down to the subway and I swiped my card and literally nothing happened. Like no light went off. It didn't say like, you know, just nothing happened. And so I just went to the next one and swiped there and I got the dreaded just used message.
Oh, mother.
Which means that you're right. Yeah, which means that your MetroCard has just been used. You can't use it again for like 17 minutes or some bizarre amount of time like that. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks. But the train's coming in like 10 minutes. It's fine. I just like went up and walked down the street and went to the attendant, and he was very helpful and, you know, looked at my card and was like, oh, just go in through there. We'll just like get you through. And it was all fine. So the next night, same thing happened. Like, I wasn't really paying attention, but I like swiped and nothing happened. And I didn't even really think about it. And I swiped at the next one and it said just used. And I was like, oh man, like this happened again. Like, there's something wrong with this turnstile. Like, clearly it's, you know, not working correctly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But in this case, the train is coming in 3 minutes.
So you jump the turnstile. That's what you need to do.
The thing is, I didn't. I actually get that, like, that's a better option than what happened. But I'm just such a law abider. Like, I'm terrified of breaking rules. So I didn't. I was like, all right. I went up and I ran down the two blocks to the other entrance. And I went to the booth. And it was a different person, for the record, not the very helpful person from the night before. This person, this gentleman, is staring at his phone, not looking at me, apparently unaware that he's at work. And I wasn't exactly sure what to do. Like, I didn't want to be, like, aggressive or, like, tap on the window or anything. So I just kind of, like, stood there and kind of, like, tried to get his attention. And finally, he looked up and noticed me and looked a little bit startled, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, hi. So I just used my card at the other entrance and it didn't work. And now it says it's just used and I can't get through. And he kind of like looked at me strange and had me swipe the thing and then was like staring at his computer screen for a while. Meanwhile, the train is now entering the station. And I don't know how, like,
no.
Yeah. Anyone who lives in New York or like uses the train station knows that, especially around midnight, if you miss a train, you can be in some bad luck. Like, the next one's not coming right away. So now I'm like, I say to the guy, like, hey, this is my, I'm missing my train. And he kind of like gives me the just wait a second finger. And I was like, okay, well, it happened last night and they just sort of like swiped me through and he's still like, just give me a second. I'm still looking at this. Ugh. I've missed my train now. Like, the train has come and gone.
Oh no, Mike, no.
Yeah. And I was like, this happened last night. Like, I think there's something wrong with the thing. To which he says, I need you to calm down, sir. And now I feel like I'm being very calm. I feel like I'm, you know, and I said, I was like, oh, I'm trying to be calm. He's like, well, it doesn't seem like you are.
Oh, he's just a jerk.
Yeah, it was really upsetting. And I'd missed the train and it was, I ended up taking a downtown to get an express. It all worked out fine. So cut to
no.
This week. I'm like looking at, okay, it's 14 minutes till the train is coming. That's fine. It's like a 7 minute walk. I get there. I'll tell this one really quickly. I waited 26 minutes for this train that was supposed to be coming in 14 minutes.
Oh my God.
It was so packed that I'm in this train, like packed like sardines, crowded with people. Of course, in this day and age, that's very aggravating because, you know, we have the COVID going on still.
Right.
The next night.
Oh no, there's more.
No, this is the last one. I swear this wraps it up.
No, but
this is just like showing my luck with the trains these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. So I was so hungry after work and I was like, maybe I'll stop in and get food, but let's see when the trains are coming. There's a train coming in 13 minutes, 17 minutes, and 19 minutes. I'm like, well, that's actually great because I'll get some food. If I miss the first train, it's actually sort of great because then the next train will be less crowded probably. So I got some food. I kind of hustled to the train station. I get there as a train is leaving and I don't know which one it is, but I'm like, it's probably the 13 minutes. Not that big of a deal. Who cares? And it is, in fact. I can see there's a train coming in 6 minutes and a train coming in 7 minutes. The train in 6 minutes comes and doesn't stop. Passes through the station.
What?
Yeah. All of us on the platform are like, well, that's very weird, but there's another train 1 minute behind it, so maybe there's just, like, making up for time. It's fine. A train 1 minute later comes through, passes through the station, doesn't stop.
What?
I will jump to the end and say that I waited 33 minutes for a train to come, and I just, you know what it's like living in New York City and depending on the subway, where it just feels so helpless and frustrating. Like, you have no control over it. A friend of mine was like, just take a taxi. And I'm like, I would have taken a taxi 33 minutes ago if right. I knew that had I was going to be waiting this long.
You could have, like, walked home, practically.
I literally could have walked home. So that's literally all that I have to say about this week. I'm working so much.
I'm sorry, Mike.
I'm having a hard time getting home. And it's all going to be fine. But that's literally been my week. How's your week been, Vanya?
Horrible. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's been okay. I've been working a lot as well. My parents are still here, which is great. So doing, you know, trying to work, also trying to host a little and all that. But it, most of all, we're just chilling, because, you know, you can't do much. But I did do something that I've been procrastinating for such a long time this week, is I got all the paperwork done and ready to go, and my appointment for my two little children to get passports, because, oh. And this is something I've been like, I don't know, I've half started a million times and never got it together. But, you know, with COVID, we haven't seen my husband's grandma we haven't seen her for almost a year and a half at this point, almost 2 years, because we were going to see her this summer, last summer. But obviously, well, the border. So my husband's grandmother and father live in Canada. And so the border's closed. You can't go up there. And it's, you know, it's really sad. She's getting up there in age, and we really want to see her. And she's just the sweetest lady. My daughter's middle name is after her. We just love her so much. And, you know, I've been with my husband since I was like a late teenager. So I know her for that many years. I am not a teenager anymore. So anyway, the point is, I'm doing this with like the hope that in maybe July, I don't know, maybe they'll start letting people through. So I did it. I did the whole thing. It was hard, annoying, and like trying to find all the paperwork, but it's ready to go. And so I'm feeling really like excited about having passports for the kids. It's literally just to go see family up in Canada, you know, just in Vancouver, but like we need to see them. And also, we haven't seen, you know, their grandpa, his dad, my husband's dad. It's just, I know a lot of people are going through this where they have family members in places across the country. It doesn't even have to be out of country. But it feels scary when you just are not allowed to go see somebody. So I'm excited. So we got that going. That's what I did this week. And check it off the list. Done. Well, not done. We still have to go do the appointment. You have to have both parents there with the kids. And you're like, these are our kids. I swear to God, we're not going to abduct them. And it's at a post office. So that's going to be fun. Let's hope. But yeah, otherwise just working, living the dream, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to get my passport renewed, and I don't even know how that is working right now. And I guess I'm fine with just a driver's license for now, because I did get my driver's license in the mail, which was...
Well, I can tell you. You just got to go on to the site, and then there's a couple things you got to navigate. We'll do that offline, but I can totally help you get that done.
Yeah.
And then you have to print it out, though. So if you don't have a printer, that's annoying.
I have a printer right here.
Great.
That... does not work.
Oh.
So it's just a box of nothingness that sits next to my computer. It's
awesome.
But I've literally spent so much money replacing all of the ink cartridges, and I replaced them all, and it still won't print.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? You're nothing. You're just sitting there doing nothing. You're worthless, you stupid printer. Yeah. It's very aggravating. It's very annoying to me.
Well, you know what? Right before the lockdown last year, so I told you all last episode about my company, Children's Film Club. Well, I spent some money. I splurged, you know, business expense. I bought a laser printer because, you know, in my mind, I'd be printing all these things for kids to be doing. And like, and honestly, it's been great because my daughter had so much stuff we had to print out for her school. Every single other printer I've ever had has sucked. I've never had a printer that's worked. So this is like, I have a printer that's like, really works. Just get a laser printer. It's only a couple hundred million dollars.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me what kind that is, because maybe I'll just do it. Like, it's so frustrating with it. But I also just hate that I have this, like, I hate waste. Like, I hate that I have this machine.
Yes.
What am I going to throw it in the trash? I don't know. Ugh, it's so aggravating.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Let's be positive for a minute. Okay. What are you digging this week?
I mean, I could definitely, so I'm on a bit of a, you know, I was telling you guys about that book I was reading, How to Quit Like a Woman. So I'm still not drinking any alcohol beverages. I'm on day 23, which is great for me.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't taken a break.
That's amazing.
Actually, did I say this last week? I can't remember, but I was like, I haven't taken one break all year. And my friend Avern was like, well, remember when you thought you had botulism last year? I was like, oh, oh shit.
Right.
Yeah. I thought I had botulism. I didn't. So I didn't drink for 2 weeks. But so that's the only time I took off. So it's good for me. I'm taking this time off. But one of the things in this book, she talks about, you know, so she's not an AA. She doesn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous, which I kind of love, because that I've just never really, for me personally, like thought that was something I wanted to do. And she goes on and on about it, how it's kind of like has its roots in sort of like patriarchy. So whatever. Well, you know, you can read the book to figure that out. But I like her, the way she's going about it is a different, it's like a more all encompassing thing. So she started meditating in the mornings. And that's one thing she, Holly Whitaker is the author's name, she advises you to do. So I've decided, okay, I'm going to try it. And so for the last 12 days, I have been letting my husband get the kids up. And sometimes I'll like help them in the morning, but I'll sit there. I have a app on my phone and it's a free app. It's called Insight Timer. I don't know if you've heard of that before. And I went to beginners and I went to morning meditations and picked one. And, you know, they're all around 10 minutes and I just lay in my bed. Like, I know if you're really a meditator, you probably sit and have like a special place in your house and that's great. But I don't have that luxury of, you know, having a special spot in my house. I have, you know, kids and work and husband and, you know, it's just nuts in this house. So I've just been laying down and doing some guided meditations for 5 to 10 minutes for the last 12 days. And I haven't had a freak out, which I'm an emotional lady. It's really kept me way more even keel than I've been in a very long time. And it kind of sets the tone. I mean, I've always I don't get meditation. Maybe I still don't get it, but I'm just being kind to myself and being like, I'm going to try it and see how it goes. But it has been awesome. I'm telling you, I feel better, more space in my brain. I don't know. Have you ever done meditating? I know we do it sometimes for acting, like warming up for it and like that kind of thing. But yeah.
No, I've never. I think that it sounds, I don't know. I am that person that feels that I don't have the ability to meditate. Like I'm that person who feels like I don't even get how that would work. I'm intrigued by it. It's something that I keep thinking like, oh, I should give that a try. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know. It feels impossible to me.
I understand that. I totally understand that. I think I'm going to send you one. There's this guy and oh, dang, I can't remember his name, but his name's John something. And he also does some meditations in French on this Insight Timer app. It's simpler than you think. I think it's like that was the revelation to me is like, I think I kept thinking, oh, it's something that I have to lock in and get grounded. No, just breathe and like listen to the guided meditation at first. It's great. And I think that you'd really love this guy. His voice is very calm.
Yeah, send that to me so that I know.
Oh, I will. I'll send it to you. I'll put it in the Instagram too so people can see it.
Please do. I think I know that it would be good for me. I know, especially like right now with everything being as crazy and stressful as it is, I know it would be good to have those moments of just like quieting the mind.
Yeah, and just do it however you want to do it. Like that's what I decided. I'm like, forget rules. I don't care. I'm laying in my bed. I'm going to do it here. And this is what I've been doing. And it's actually been pretty great. I could see myself sitting up at some point, but for now I'm like baby steps. So that's what I've been digging. What have you been digging?
I'm going to talk about a movie that I actually saw like a month ago and I didn't bring it up then, but a friend of mine just watched it recently and we were kind of talking about it. And have you gotten a chance to see the movie? I think it's really pronounced like Minari.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
So I spent the money, like I did the, you know, it's like a $20 rental or something like that. But I was like, nah, I haven't really spent a lot of money on movies this year, obviously. So I went ahead and rented it. And it really is, my only caveat to it is that like it did kind of break my heart. Like it's a movie that, I don't know, it hurt me a little bit. But it's a beautiful film. Like it's beautifully made and beautiful, stunning performances. And both Steven Yeun and Yanya Zhang, I think is her name. They're both nominated for Academy Awards. So it's a movie that I think is worth checking out for. It's, you know, it's very quiet, but very moving and very beautiful portrait of immigrant life in the United States and really like encapturing the American dream and what that means for so many people. So I do think it's a film worth checking out. So I wanted to bring that up. I also have been, this is not new, this is from a while ago, but I've been sort of revisiting The Newsroom lately, which I think is a TV show that you maybe had kind of mixed feelings about, which is totally fine. Like, I get that it wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I'm really enjoying that. And on top of that, I'm just really enjoying Emily Mortimer is the lead actress in it. She's a British actress who, you know, she was in Scream 3 was like the first thing that I know her from. And she's was on 30 Rock for a couple of episodes. And I just think she's really, I just enjoy her vibe. Like, I'm gonna have to check her out and see what she's doing these days. Cause yeah. So it's sort of a smattering of things that I'm digging, but just those are the things that I'm kind of going to these days. So there you go. There's my little digging stuff.
I love that.
And then my do without is kind of silly. And it's, I think that someday if I ever, you know, go back and re-listen to this, or if, you know, people in the future discover this podcast, they're going to be like, that Mike Jensen had a weird relationship with crossword puzzles. And yeah, you know what? I do. It's not great. It's not great. So what I could do without right now are overly clever crossword puzzles. I don't even attempt the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm firmly in the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday zone. A friend of mine brought up a Thursday puzzle recently, and they were like, oh, it's so weird because it's this clue and it seems like it should be three letters, but it's five letters for it. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And I kind of like tried to do it, and I was like, yeah, it's weird. There are so many places where like I think I know the answer, but it doesn't really fit. And, you know, crossword puzzle, spoiler alert, it's because there were boxes that you weren't supposed to use. Like, there were empty boxes. There were like places where you weren't supposed to put a letter.
What?
That's so ridiculous to me. If you dig that kind of thing, that's great. Find your joy. I was so annoyed when I realized it. Conversely, I was recently doing a Wednesday puzzle and was having a weird thing of like, I feel like I know the answer to this, but it doesn't really fit in the space. And I finally was like, I thought I'd cracked it. Like, I thought I'd figured it out. Like, oh, I guess we're just like leaving a letter out. No, it's because two letters were supposed to go in certain boxes. Two letters in one box. That's some Thursday puzzle bullshit on a Wednesday, and I'm not okay with it. How do you even put two letters in one box? I wouldn't even know how to do that.
That seems like cheating.
Yeah, it's very annoying. So that's what I could do without. And if someone wants to explain to me why that's fun, I guess that I'm open to hearing it. I'm just trying to relax and enjoy a puzzle. I don't need two letters in a box or no letters in a box. Let's just do a puzzle. So that's all.
My God. It's
very deeply frustrating to me. Deeply frustrating.
Okay, so here's my story of what I could do without this week. If you're following this podcast, y'all know I live in a new place. We spent all our money on getting this new place, but I did get my deposit back from my apartment. So that money came in, and I was like, we're going to buy some furniture because we have, you know, we need a couch and like a chair. And so I looked around, I looked online. It's overwhelming to me. So what I decided to actually do is I was like, you know what, let's look on Facebook Marketplace or OfferUp. These are like, you know, apps where people resell items. We found a beautiful couch that is original. I mean, like, you know, you just have to look and you have to be patient. Beautiful couch, gorgeous, looks great. Can't wait for you to come over and sit on it, Mike. You're going to love it. So that felt really great at like, I'm talking an eighth of the price of originally what it is. You know, I think originally this couch is like $4,800. And so, and then, you know, it's just so pretty and I'm excited about it. And I now, you know, one thing about me is I do have two children. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I have a 3-year-old boy, son. And they're, you know, they're messy. They're kids. So that's why another reason to get something secondhand. The other thing is, I don't know, the environment. I think probably it's good to get reused stuff, all that. So I'm feeling good about that. But we were like, you know what? We need a comfy chair. My parents are here. We're like, we need a chair my dad could sit in. Something that's comfortable to like sit and read and, you know, whatever. So my husband's always wanted leather. And I'm like, yeah, a leather chair would be cool. Like a leather club chair. Well, we decided to go into a store. We went to Pottery Barn. And these chairs are like just meh. And they're like $2,000. And I'm like, that's just, I mean, you know, I've got luxurious taste here, people. And I was like, this isn't even meeting my standard of what I want. And it's more expensive than I want to spend. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on, I can't remember if it was OfferUp or whatever, or Facebook Marketplace. But it was like as if the gods were calling to me. A beautiful, only 2 hours posted, a beautiful Ralph Lauren leather club chair with that, and it's called the writer's chair with a ottoman, came up. And it was expensive, but it was nowhere near even the prices that we were looking at. I offered $300 less. They accepted. And my husband and I were like, oh my God, are we going to get this Ralph? Because when you go onto the Ralph Lauren site, they don't even tell you the price. It's like one of those places where they're like, you know, right. You know, like you have to inquire about the price. And we eventually figured out that this chair, like new, is I think it's like $9,000.
Oh God.
Which is like, oh my God, we're getting a deal. We're feeling so happy. We went, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's old, but you know how some of that old leather looks good. Everything's attached. It's a good quality. We got the ottoman as well. And it just needs some cleaning. So we get it home. And luckily with my parents, they were able to watch the kids. We were able to go pick up the thing. Okay, we get home. I'm wiping it down with some water and vinegar mixture just because, you know, other people's butts. And I don't know how many people have had sex on that chair. So it's like I'm worried. So I'm cleaning it and I'm looking on the... And I go in to just like rinse my, you know, cloth. And my mom is watching, you know, sitting there. And my son is like trying to help me. And I'm like, no, 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 don't touch. I'm not gone a minute, Mike. I'm not gone a minute. And he has scratched almost every inch of the chair with his little puppy fingernails. And I don't know why. So I've gone through so many emotions. I was like, oh, do I just put my son outside with a for sale sign on his neck? Because this is really upsetting. Like, it wasn't cheap for us. I mean, it was about as much as the couch we spent, you know? And so that's the other thing. Like, I was feeling like we just got this great, you know, great deal, but still spent a bunch of our money, and he's ruined this beautiful couch or chair. I'm kidding. I would never sell him. But like, so then I'm just so upset. My mom was like, I don't know how he just did that, you know? And I was like, was he doing it to be just a dick? Or it, I think he just liked the tactile feeling of it. And it's still, I've fixed it a little bit, but it's still there. And it's so deeply upsetting to me. I've forgiven him, obviously. He's three. He doesn't know. He knows not what he does. But he put him in timeout. I mean, but I don't think I've been that disappointed in my kids, because it was like, I was all up, you know, my excitement and my everything was all high because I was like, we just got, oh, this is like so nice. It's a perfect chair. Now we have this like beautiful. And then it just dropped. And now it's like, it's a fine chair. It's fine. And I can't, I don't know. I guess the thing that I could do without is like, I had to really like reconcile with myself how disappointed I was in my son. I was just like, oh, what an asshole. It really hurt me deep, but I'm okay now. It's fine. But like, guys, I get like, if you like nice things, and I'm saying things because kids bring you beautiful joy inside and love and yada, yada. But if you'd like nice things, probably don't have kids.
Yeah.
You just don't, or if you can, like, I can take a beating. I can take the ups and downs with kids, but this one hurt me a lot.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Oh, Mike, I'm being calm right now because I was so upset. I was so pissed. Oh my God. I couldn't even yell. I was like that mad. And he had no idea. I was like, you're going into timeout. So I put him in his room you're supposed to do it like a minute per year. So I put 3.5 minutes. And he just didn't care. He just played with toys. I'm like, you mother. Oh, God. It was a rough, rough night. But anyways, yeah, we have a new chair.
Yeah, kids are kind of sociopaths.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And three is such a shitty age, too, because, I mean, people say it's terrible twos, and that's not true because they're still cute. Three, they start looking like kids and not babies anymore. So you're just like, ugh, you little shit. I'm just kidding. But, and then they're just acting like completely maniacal. You're just like, oh, wow, you really, because they're still super selfish, which is, you know, it's their self-preservation to be that way. But I'm like, I'm watching him right now outside my window swing on the swings. And I'm just like, he doesn't care. He's never going to think about that chair again. Well, yeah, that's it. That's what I got for you.
I feel you. Well, what I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of a strange, kind of a broad subject, and we don't have to get too deep into it, but I was thinking, we talked about the fact that I already worked out today, and
yes, good job.
Over the years have become someone who does exercise pretty much daily. Like, it's just part of my daily routine. Like, I don't like if I don't have time to do it. And part of that is I have the benefit of I don't have children and I have a job that I work at night. So I have my days open. So I get that I have a very, you know, specific life that lends itself to being able to work out when I want to. But I'm I was trying to think about, like, because I wasn't always someone who exercised. Like, I definitely didn't exercise as, like, a teenager. I was probably, like, in my 20s before I even really started. And then it probably took a bit of time after that before I really got into, like, daily exercise. But I was wondering, like, what your relationship with exercise is.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of in general, like how you feel about... Because I feel like everyone has sort of a different mental state about it. Like, some people love it, some people hate it.
You know, that's actually a very, very good question, because it's something that I think about daily. I don't do it daily, but I think about it daily. Growing up, I was an athlete, so I've been in many different sports. So I feel like since I'm like 8 years old, I've always been training or working. You know, you're doing a practice, but then within the practices, there's like calisthenics and you're doing, you know, different weight type stuff. So my first initial was just like fun playing. You know, I played volleyball and I was on a really competitive team that traveled all around. And so it was like and on our off season, we would train with like the football players when we were in high school and, you know, work on our muscles and our body and just to get the maximum performance, like the highest jump and yada, yada. So growing up, it was such, and I was a gymnast as well. So it's like, you know, thinking about all those intrinsic muscles. So I've always been really like mind and body connected in that way, not understanding that it was like a duty of working out. I just did the quotes with my fingers. Ugh, I'm such an idiot. I can't stand myself sometimes. But you know what I mean? But so then when got into college, I didn't make any of the college teams, was a little sad, but you know, whatever. And I continued to kind of work out, but I sort of like lost my thread of it a little bit. I love the feeling and I always felt better mentally. Part of the reason I was in so many sports, I think, you know, we've talked about before, but like I have, you know, some attention deficit issues, and working out for me really helps me focus on the rest of my day. So anyways, in my 20s, and probably most of my 20s, I kind of lost like the everyday working out thing or doing anything physical. I walked a lot in New York. That's basically was my workout. And I did have gym memberships here and there, but could never sustain it. I've also always practiced yoga, and that's fun. But to me, that never felt like working out. Like if I had done yoga, I was like, ugh, whatever. I just stretched, bitch. Until I did that one class with you with Paisley. I was like, oh, I think I'm dying now. I wasn't doing the right yoga class, apparently. But anyway, in my 30s, and honestly, after having my kids, that's where I was like, I'm having some serious depression issues. And the only thing that has gotten me out of it is a daily, either a walk or I love to sweat. So once you're in it, it feels great, but it's just so hard. I don't know why, but it's so hard. I'm like, I have an irrational fear of being sore, and it only happens like the first 3 days you work out. And then after that, you're not really that painfully sore anymore. So my relationship is that I know it's good for me, but I have a really hard time being consistent about it. But when I am consistent about it, I not even about my body, I just mentally feel so much happier. So I want to continue. I want to do it more consistently. And I have been walking every day too since my my time right now that I'm having sans alcohol.
Yeah.
What about you? Because came to it a little bit later in life, which is, I think it's really cool because you're committed. Once you started, you committed to it. You basically never stopped. I don't think maybe you have a week here and there off of working out. I almost said alcohol. Working out.
No, I'm pretty consistent with it. I tend to do like 4 weeks on, and then I'll take 1 week that's like my rest week, but it's still like I'll do like yoga and stretching and stuff like that for that week. I kind of was bringing it up also because the workout that I'm doing right now, I started a new program and I hate it.
Okay.
And the truth is I sort of hate almost any new program that I start. I kind of hate it first because you're kind of like getting used to it and figuring it out.
Sure.
But I'm in my second week of it, and I think that like the workout that I did today, I just didn't like. It's one of those ones where it's like super complicated moves and kind of throwing your body around and like I think you should like go and rest,
right?
And this one is kind of just like throwing yourself around for 30 minutes. So I think I'm not gonna do it anymore because I honestly felt like it was a waste of time today. But
yeah, listen to yourself.
Yeah, but in general, I do, you know, it does make me feel better. And you're right, like it is a thing that focuses you. And you're doing meditation right now, which I think is also great. I think there are those things that you should, like meditation and working out feel like very different things, but I think they have really similar functions. I think they can both really like focus your mind and like set you up for the rest of your day. So yeah, I think it's good to have that combination.
I also have one thing that I realize when I was growing up, I was always with lots of people working out and doing, you know, we were all going for a goal of like playing on a team or something. Even when we weren't, we were all working out together. So I think I have such a weird thing as an adult being alone working out. I do like to run here and there, but it's like I feel lonely a little bit. So that sucks. But it's just, that's just me because I just need to get that discipline up maybe I need to love myself more and feel like I'm having fun with myself. But yeah, that was a big change for me too, where that's why I didn't work out so much once I was off teams.
It's funny because like I like being alone. Like I like doing my solitary stuff. So it works really, really well for me. Yeah, I think that's the other thing though, is like figuring out what works for you. Like doing a workout that you don't like isn't helpful. Like figure out what makes you feel good and what makes you want to do it again.
Yes, good point.
So
that's good. I like that.
Do you have anything random for us?
Yeah, I have a random story.
Awesome.
I decided I'm just going to tell you a story about me being an idiot. I think it was 2005, and one of my best friends moved out to New York as well. His name's Daniel, and lived all the way out. It's Park Slope, but it was like once you got off the train, you had to walk for 20 minutes. Anyways, but he was going to NYU there for grad school, and they would have so he had a house, and they would have like parties, and it was really fun. It was back in like my fun party days, you know. We're like, woo, we're gonna do a house party, and my sister was in town. And I was like, oh, I'm going to impress her. She's 4.5 years younger than me. I'm going to impress her and take her to this party. It's going to be so fun. So we were, you know, lots of drinking, lots of music, and there people were dancing. And all of a sudden, a circle forms around me because I'm dancing and I'm like, my sister didn't want to go. She was being like, I don't really remember the whole thing. But I remember my objective was to make her laugh or whatever. So this is because I used to be a gymnast and I used to be really flexible and whatever. So I started doing the worm in the middle of this huge, like, you know, it was a kitchen, but it was a big kitchen and everybody's like clapping. They're like, yeah. My friend Murph brought out his camera because he's like, look, this is crazy. She's like Cirque du Soleil, you know, I'm doing the worm. And mind you, I have been drinking. And then I stopped doing it and they're like, again. So everybody's like clapping and I'm like, I'm going to do this again. And normally when you do the worm, you start from the back, right? The back of your like legs. And then you sort of like flop like a fish like that or like a worm. Well, this time I was like, I'm going to impress them. I'm going to dive. I'm going to do it forward. You know, I'm going to dive forward. And I dove and I hit my chin and knocked myself out. And that was the end of that. And it's all on video. And meanwhile, I clip my friend in the nuts. And so it's all on video of me clipping this guy in the testicles with my toe, which was over my head, by the way. And I went completely limp. And then the next day I had like a chin strap of bruise, like a black chin strap. I know. I feel like that should tell you something about me. People, I really go for the gold when it comes to comedy. I want to make people laugh, and if it's to my demise, well, hey,
I love it.
Do you remember when I had that bruise?
I do, and I remember the video, and it's the funniest thing because you don't really see you hitting your face, but you see like you just sort of like disappear, and then he just falls over. Like you just see him like he's been hit in the testicles, and he just like falls to the ground. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty good video.
This is a random thing about me. I just thought you should know.
No, I like it.
If we're gonna get close, this is important. How about you?
My random thing is sort of in two parts because it was a week or so after I got my first dose of the vaccine and I'm in like a group chat and someone brings up the fact of like, well, you know, you're not supposed to drink any alcohol for 24 hours before until 24 hours after you get your vaccine shot. And I was like, well, what?
They should tell people that.
Because I'm someone who should be told that. Yeah, that's a thing that I should know. You should tell me that. And like, randomly, the week that I got my first dose, I hadn't been drinking that week. Like, it had just been a week that I decided to not. So it worked out fine. The point of this story is I brought this up to someone else later, and this actually isn't a thing. Like, I've now looked it up, and there's no proof that it actually could affect you. But I thought that I should bring it up as my random fact.
Good.
Just in case it's, you know, something that might affect
a
you.
A question
but,
for someone.
You know,
yeah.
You with your 23 days, good for you. So
I know. Can you believe it?
I know. It's great. I actually meant to bring it up like a few weeks in a row, but then I was like, well, she's not saying anything. So maybe she's, you know, who knows, but that's terrific. That's longer than I've made it.
Well, but you've done longer than me a lot of times. You take lots of breaks. I just haven't. And it feels really good. I feel clear and happy. And honestly, this pandemic has made me look inside of myself for a lot of things that I'm like, oh, I need to think about why I'm doing certain things, you know? So the pandemic sucks, but also in some ways it definitely has made me look inwards, which is always hard, but a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Jensen, I love you.
I love you too. And I'm in such like I hope that this has been fun. I'm in such a weird, like yes. crazy headspace right now. So it's nice just to talk to you and see your face and just have a conversation.
Me too.
All right. I love you so much. And we'll talk more soon. Thanks everyone for
listening.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.